Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's Tuesday. It's time for Sail Sport Talk. My co-host, Karen Lyle, as always, is in studio. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great and very pleased to have our guest today.
Yes, our guest is Alex Holmes, director of Maiden. We talked about this movie, which has been an official selection at many prestigious film festivals. And Alex, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a British filmmaker, producer and director, and I started out life as a documentary maker. Spent a long time making drama and worked, made a miniseries and things like that for HBO, but then found my way back to documentaries, which are my first love. And I'm very pleased to be here with this film, because this has been an absolute labor of love. It's a great story. It's an inspiring tale, and the character at the heart of it, Tracy Edwards, is a remarkable woman who the world needs to meet.
And from where in the UK do you hail?
Originally, I was born and brought up on the Welsh borders, a very remote part. Pretty landlocked, I have to say, for any sailors listening. Now I live and work in Southwest London.
Okay. Yes, I remember going to Chester. It said the gateway to Northern Wales. But you were like way in there.
I'm even remoter and souther than that. So,
are you more Cardiff Bluebirds or Swansea Swans?
More the Cardiff. I grew up in the Black Mountains, basically.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very good.
So, Alex Holmes, you have produced this movie, The Maiden, but you first discovered that this was a story and went around to collect all of the material for the documentary. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey that you had collecting material for this documentary?
Well, it started actually when Tracy came to speak at my daughter's elementary school. She was just 11 years old and about to move on to big school. It was an exciting evening. But that year, the school had mixed it up and got a guest speaker to come and say some words to the children. And I knew from the moment Tracy started speaking that she was a remarkable character. She has great energy and drive. And as she started to tell her story about how she'd had this dream about sailing around the world and that she was determined to pursue it, but that everybody had tried to stop her and tell her that they couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't do this, she had just never given up and never taken no for an answer. And I just could see a film unfolding in front of my eyes. I have to admit that my first instinct was that this would have to be a dramatic film, because all this stuff happened, you know, at sea, a long way from land, in the salt water and the damp. And this was in the era before iPhones, when it was difficult to capture that sort of stuff. So I had imagined it would be with actors, we'd write a script and it would be exciting. And then it was only later that Tracy told me they'd actually had cameras on board the whole way around. And that was a great moment for me, because my first love is documentary, and so the opportunity to tell this story in that form was a gift, really.
Tell us exactly what the Whitbread race is. This was 1989.
Sure.
Right?
It was 1989, the Whitbread had been run since the 1970s. It's a round the world race done in legs, with stopovers between the legs. This year in 1989, it was divided up into classes, so depending on the size of the boats. But it's 33,000 miles. It's through some of the toughest seas, and I think that, you know, all the people we spoke to said really it was the pinnacle of achievement. It's what you did to prove yourself as a soldier, as a sailor. It's what you did to prove yourself as a sailor. And so, you know, when Tracy, decided she wanted to put an all-female crew into this race, I think there were a lot of people who were skeptical about their chances of completing it, let alone succeeding it. So Tracy had a battle on her hands to persuade the world that this was a viable proposition.
Alex, as a director, producer of the documentary, you had to decide how to tell the story. And what process did you go through to be able to decide how to tell it this way?
Well, when I heard that there was cameras on board, the first thing was, well, where's the footage? You know, and that began a kind of 2-year search in lots of archives around the world, but also in people's attics, in the backs of cupboards, to try and dig this stuff out. And then we had just a massive jigsaw puzzle of finding. We'd have these little shards of footage, little clips here and there, and we'd have to try and assemble it into a whole so that we could see what material we had, and then plot our chart through the story that way. The other huge element, perhaps even more more significant than the footage is, of course, the women's stories themselves. And we were able to interview the crew and, you know, walk them through their stories and their recollections. And they were just so generous and so honest and candid in the way that they shared their recollections with us. And I think that's one of the strengths of the film, personally, is that you sense that these women aren't hiding anything from you. They're not making out it was any easier or any tougher than it was. It's just brutally honest. It's kind of raw, and I think that makes it exciting and gripping.
Rick Tuttle and Karen Lyle with Alex Holmes, director of the new documentary Maiden. You mentioned that some people didn't think they would make it. In fact, from the press release, it says a chauvinistic yachting press, in fact, took bets on the failure. Have a punt, a flutter, if you like. What was that like? I mean, that's a very glaring chauvinism,
well,
right there.
Absolutely, and the cruelty of it was this actually happened in the bar after the boats had left on the first day of the race, and the yachting press, who were all there to see the boats off and write about it, all got together and said, "Well, how do you think they're going to do?" And not a single member of the yachting press thought that they would actually even finish the first leg. They had different bets on how far they would get. Some said they would get to the edge of the Solent. Some said they would get to the Canary Islands. But none of them thought that they would actually complete even the first leg of this race.
You know, this was such an accomplishment back in the time that this happened. But also, it was an accomplishment for you as a filmmaker to be able to have Sony Pictures pick it up. How was that for you when you first discovered that they were going to take the film?
Well, I was so excited. I was pleased professionally that it had got attention from a big distributor like Sony Pictures Classics. But really, what excited me was I care deeply about this story. I want as many people to see this story as possible, because I think it's a story that enhanced my life, and I want to share that with other people. I want other people to be as inspired by Tracy's story as I have been. And, you know, when you get an opportunity to be shown in cinemas across the United States, like Sony Pictures Classics offers us, then that's a great way of sharing that story with as many people as possible, with fathers and daughters, with mothers and sons, with sisters, with community groups. You know, this is a film that everybody should go and see. You will come out of the cinema feeling like the world is a great place and you're a great person in it, and you can achieve anything if you just commit to it.
Wow, can I see it right now? That's a pretty good advert for that.
It is. I've seen it, and it's fantastic.
Well, that's the thing. You hear it, Tracy, at your daughter's school. The light bulb goes over your head. You make the picture. You put everything into it. You direct it. You go to Toronto, Sundance, South by Southwest, Tribeca, Dublin. What is it like when you love it and you put it out there, but are you still biting your fingernails?
Well, I always love... I mean, one of the beauties of having a film that goes out into the theater rather than just people watching it on a platform like Netflix or Amazon or whatever is that you actually get to see people's reactions and you get to feel the energy in the theater. So for me, that's a real exhilaration. You know, I've worked a lot of my life in television, and television is great, but, you know, you don't get that instant feedback that you get from an audience. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a theater, you know, we kind of go around the country doing Q&As, talking about Tracy's story, these events. And it's just fantastic to get that instant reaction from people, because people are so excited. They're so uplifted by Tracy's story that there's an energy, and you kind of feed off that as a filmmaker. It's very rewarding.
Well, and St. Francis Yacht Club had you as a guest, had Tracy as a guest, and you had an audience there for just the trailer and an applause at the end of the trailer. How did that feel, standing in the back of the room watching that?
Well, of course, to get appreciation from sailors is all, you know, that's really the pinnacle. You know, people who really understand what Tracy went through to achieve what she did. I think that's an accolade that's really worth having. So it was great to be there.
And I even got a picture that was sent to me from the Los Angeles Yacht Club the day before when you were down there in L.A. So the L.A. folks, they were really excited about this film as well.
One final question for you here, and that is, whenever you dive into something like this in an area which you're not completely familiar, what was maybe one or two things that you learned about this that you had no idea about?
Well, I'll be honest. I knew almost nothing about sailing when I started this journey. I know a little bit now. I wouldn't classify myself as a sailor yet, but I know a little bit. So I learned all sorts of fascinating technical stuff. What I don't think I ever appreciated was just simply the endurance that it took to sustain, you know, particularly in the Southern Ocean, the feat that it is to cross that ocean in those grueling conditions. And not just to do it, but to do it racing. You know, it's not just to survive, but actually, and, you know, when Tracy and her crew won that leg in their class, it was just a glorious moment and was an incredible achievement. So that I learned. But also, I learned that you can't do anything on your own. You know, Tracy's a remarkable character, but really, I think it was the way that she had chosen this crew and pulled them together and that they all pulled as a team. That's what made the journey for them a success. That was the real takeaway for them, was that experience of bonding. And that was a great lesson to learn, too.
That's Alex Holmes. The movie is called Maiden. If you're in the Bay Area listening to right now, July 5th, it'll open at the Embarcadero Cinema in San Francisco, also at the Landmark Aquarius in Palo Alto on the 12th, Berkeley, Pleasant Hill, San Jose, the 19th, other areas, Oakland, Sacramento, San Francisco, Santa Cruz, Santa Rosa on the 26th, Folsom, Fresno, Monterey, Roseville, a couple places, Sebastopol. This is going to be everywhere. Alex, fantastic meeting you. Congratulations on the project.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you.
And wouldn't it be great if we could have Tracy Edwards next? And we do. We'll take a quick break. In studio, the skipper herself, the woman at the helm, Tracy Edwards. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Bar.
This is Karen Lyle with Salesport Talk, and I'm here with Mathieu Marfang, and he is going to be preparing for the F-18 World Championship in Catalonia, Spain. Mathieu, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. I'm very, very good and very exciting to prepare to this race.
So you're going to be competing with someone you've only competed with once before, but you've known a long time. How did you decide to work together?
Yeah, you know, I know him from a long time. He's a very good friend of me. And one day he called me and he said, hey, you know, there is a world championship in the U.S. in Sarasota. Do you like to do it with me? And I'm like, yeah, well, we're not going to be able to train together before. He said, oh, well, you know, we'll see. And we did 10th. And so we say, why don't we do the next one in Spain? And here we go.
What is it about this boat that really appeals to you?
Well, you know, it's really fun because first, we're going to have to the World Championship in Spain, 130 boats, something like that. So it's a big fleet. And there is very good sailors. And the boat is amazing. I mean, it's a catamaran, 18 feet. It's going really fast. There is a deck supersail. It's a really high-tech boat and very simple to use also. So we have a lot of fun.
How long is the race?
Oh, it's, you know, it's a 5-day racing, and every day we have like 4 races, and each race it's about 1 hour. In Spain, we are going to have like a very nice condition, I think. It's going to be like every day between noon and 4 p.m. we're going to have 15 to 20 knots of wind. This is also why we decided to do it together, because we love sailing in a good wind condition. And in Sarasota last time, we had like something between 5 and 8 knots, so a little bit of frustration. So,
in Catalonia, Spain, you're expecting somewhere between 15 to 20 knots. What is it about sailing at that higher speed that you really enjoy?
Oh, when you sail in high speed, you have to be really focused on everything. Every little detail is going to be a big difference in the speed. Can be 1 knot. So and every mistake that you're gonna do, you're gonna probably capsize and have a little bass. And I think it's really fun to be tired when you're back and when you drink your beer and speak about your day. Yeah, it's fun.
The beer at the end is the best part, right?
Yeah, it's a very handy. It's always what we like in racing. Whatever race it is, like America's Cup racing, small races, if you're over 21 in the U.S., you should have a beer at the end of the day and speak about the races with the friends and the competitors.
Thank you so much, Mathieu. Then we're going to be hearing how you do on this race. I hope you'll get back in touch with us.
Yeah, you are very welcome. I have to have some good news to give you.
Good luck and win the race.
Thank you very much.
Oh, come now. Don't be ashamed. We all have our idiosyncrasies.
I wish you would try and slap Rick Tittle's mama's face. He would clown you.
Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, 500 outlets in 177 countries. TuneIn app, iHeartRadio app, Stitcher app, Twitch app, every way we can get to you. Also, CRN Digital Plus 2 Cable Radio Network, Channel 2, 35 million homes on your cable provider. We continue on SalesPort Talk on a Tuesday, along with my co-host, Karen Lyle. We now bring in Tracy Edwards, who was the skipper of the Maiden, who assembled for the first all-woman team in that Whitbread race back in 1989. We were just speaking with Alex Holmes, the director of the documentary. So, Tracy, first of all, this footage, was it really just laying around? What did you do with all the film from the race?
It was really the first time the race had ever had cameras on the boats. You know, H586, there was barely a camera amongst the whole fleet. And then Whitbread said, now, who would like to volunteer to take cameras on the boats? And most of the, you know, the guys are like, no, we're far too serious ocean racing sailors to take cameras on the boats. And we went, we will. So Joe the cook went off and did a four-day camera course. She came back with this camera that was nearly bigger than her. We then also did something which no other boats did. We fixed a camera to the radar mast, so we had footage that really no one else had. And we could film without someone holding a camera, which is important on a boat. Sometimes you all need to be, you know, all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. And then when we got back, Whitbread used it for various bits and pieces. There was a little bit of a documentary about the race, but that kind of, you know, sort of faded into the background. And then I didn't really, and this really is a whole different time. I mean, I didn't really keep track of, you know, we didn't have agents and, you know, sort of thinking about all these things. So never really thought about it again. My mother, luckily, had filmed, videotaped every single interview we ever did. Oh. And everything, which was fantastic. And she collected stuff from all around the world. So I knew I had that. She also did have some footage, which I don't think she was supposed to have. But anyway, that was in a box as well somewhere. So when Alex came along and said, you know, we're going to make this drama, I said, oh, well, that's a shame because we filmed everything. And he went, that's fantastic. And I went, yeah, I don't know where it is, though. So we started with a box of mum's stuff, and that gave them a steer on what there was out there. And then literally for 2 years, they spent, it really was a labor of love, they spent 2 years trawling through warehouses, you know, newsrooms, archives, just extraordinary achievement.
Tracy, you're an inspiration to women because of your courage and inspiration in putting this voyage together. But for a moment, can you go back and think about how you first began this idea when it came to you? What was that like for you, envisioning what would happen and bringing together the people to make it happen?
I think envisioning might be giving me a little bit too much credit. I did the 85-86 race as a cook with 17 guys and thought, let's not do that again. I wanted to sail around the world again, but I did not want to cook, and I didn't really want to race around the world with guys again. Very smelly business that was. So I wanted to navigate, and I knew I would never, ever be allowed to navigate on a boat full of guys, even if I put my own team together. So I looked at the world, and I thought, this isn't the world I want to live in, so I'm going to change my bit of it. And to do that, and this is very selfish, you know, I wanted to be a navigator, so I put a project together, raised the money, and did everything that I could so that I could be the navigator. So I started out with a pretty selfish reason. But then what I learned as we were doing this was, as I was putting this all-female crew together, there's a whole world of women out there going, you know, we've got to change the world and we've got to do this. And I thought, oh, I'm part of something much bigger. But I think really it wasn't until halfway through the race that I realized that I was a feminist, because I didn't know that before. I didn't know I had to be. I was just doing what I thought we should be allowed to do. But as we were achieving more and more, and we still weren't getting the recognition and the tick in the box that we so desperately wanted, I realized that this is for everyone. This is for women. I do have a plan, which I didn't realize. I'm having a fight, which I didn't know I was going to have. So it, the whole thing evolved as we went along and ended up very differently from how we started.
Is that something, that responsibility, where you said you just wanted to navigate? And then all of a sudden people think, oh, this, she's trying to be Billie Jean King and Battle of the Sexes. And then you realize that you're holding this banner that you might not want to have held. Did you welcome that responsibility, or did you say, look, this is about sailing. It's not a gender issue. But you couldn't help but have that, right?
It was all about sailing and winning. Mm-hmm. Very importantly, we wanted to win. That was, you know, and we've been asked so many times, so did you do it just to get round or to win? You'd never ask a guy that. You'd never race unless you were going to win. So that was always one side of the agenda. But no, I did embrace actually the whole gender equality thing, because A, I felt awful that I didn't know it was going on, and I'm a woman, and I felt very proud of the fact that Maiden was being held up as this potential example of what women could achieve, and that made a step up to the plate even more. And I think the thing that I really loved, one of the things I really loved more than any other, was when guys used to say to us, but women don't get on. And I'd say to the girls, where does that come from? Is that some sort of, you know, thing to keep us all apart? Mm-hmm. And finishing at the end with really no arguments and, you know, sort of all getting on together and being that strong unit, to me was just amazing proof of all the things we could do. So I was hugely proud of that.
Well, and I think what was 36 hours before the next boat, so there was no contest. It was, you were the winner. And what was that like for you, coming in and having all of you realize that you had made that achievement?
Coming into Australia was just one of those moments that every human being should have in their life. It was, we knew how many people would be angry and annoyed, so that was excellent. We loved that. But more importantly than that, we knew how many people had supported us and believed in us and were standing on the dock going, thank you so much for doing that. It was extraordinary. For us, the kind of the weird thing was when nothing really changed. I don't know what we expected. Did we expect, you know, we'd win that leg and the whole world would shift on its axis, you know, and our little world did, but nothing really changed. We knew we had to win the next leg because it was a short tactical leg, not a long heavy leg. That we could, if we can do that, we can show we can. Women can do all sides of sailing. Then we did win that leg, and that is when one of the journalists started to sort of change his mind about us as a crew. And he went from, they're not just a tin full of tarts; they're a tin full of smart, fast tarts.
Wow!
It was a little step in the right direction.
Yes.
Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with Tracy Edwards, the skipper of the Maiden, part of the new documentary Maiden from Sony Pictures Classics. Give us a little bit of your background, how you became this salty sea dog, and where were you raised?
I also grew up in Wales, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a trend running along here. Mm-hmm.
So you're a taff, right?
I'm most certainly not.
You don't say taffies, right?
Yeah, taff.
Oh, that's,
yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
that derogatory?
No. I'm joking. Okay. My father was Welsh. My mother's Scottish. I was born in England. I'm very confused.
you're Great Britain.
I am British through and through. So I had a difficult journey through the later part of my sort of teenage years. I had a very volatile and quite violent relationship with my stepfather, and I went through bullying at school and all sorts of the perfect storm, which really sort of, I mean, I wasn't going out to seek adventure. I was running away, and I, you know, was just needed to be somewhere else. My mother fully supported me and knew that I also needed to be somewhere else. And I just fell across sailing. And I mean, I was 17 years old when I got into my first boat. I had no qualifications, no exams, not a clue of what I was going to do with my life. In about 4 days of being on this boat, I thought, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. How lucky is that? I mean, it really felt as if someone up there had said, second chance, take it.
Wow.
Take it, you know, grab it. Mm-hmm. And then I was lucky enough to have this amazing series of extraordinary skippers who were mentors and who saw something in me that I'd never seen in myself. And every single one of them pushed me a little bit further onto the next level, and then the next, made me see something else I could do and something else I could be. And without all of these people at each stage of my life, I would never have got to where I was going, which I didn't realize was the Whitbread.
And now you've restored the Maiden. And so the Maiden has a mission and is traveling around the world. Could you tell us a little bit about that mission?
Well, another extraordinary and synchronistic story. I just heard that Maiden had been abandoned and needed to be rescued about 2 weeks before I met Alex. And so the Maiden film and Maiden's sort of resurrection, the Maiden Factor, have both been going in parallel. So they were raising money to buy the film, we were raising money to buy Maiden. And it has just, the whole thing has sort of been reborn. We rescued her. Princess Haya, who is King Hussein's daughter, funded her restoration in the UK. So that's the second time I've rescued this boat and restored her. I'm not doing it again. We restored her. She looks so stunning. She looks exactly like as she was. We've changed the nav station a little bit, updated it because it was a little bit old.
That would be necessary.
Yeah, that was definitely necessary. And she's now doing a 2-year world tour, raising funds and awareness for girls' education. 130 million girls around the world currently don't have an education, and I arrogantly threw mine away. So this is my way of putting something back. Maiden will actually be in San Francisco on the 20th of August. She's visiting you guys.
Very cool. Now, with any experienced sailor, there are times of great peril. You lose a mast or a rudder, or there's some squall that comes up out of the blue, a gale. Can you tell us, during that Whitbread, some of the more perilous moments you had?
Yeah, the Southern Ocean is definitely the most dangerous. It's the legs. There are two Southern Ocean legs, and those are the ones you're really very acutely aware of. On the second leg, I think the most devastating thing that happened was that two guys went overboard from Crichton's naturally, and one of them, they recovered, both of them, but one of them was unfortunately recovered dead. And Claire, our doctor, spent 2 days on the radio saving the life of the other guy by talking them through. They didn't have a doctor on board, so talking them through the injection process and, it was touch and go. But Anthony Phillips did die, and it's a weird thing to go through. You're a fleet of 23 boats, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and you all have this common tragedy that you're all thinking about. So for one of the only times you're ever racing around the world, you're all thinking about the same thing. You're not thinking about racing or tactics or anything else. And it makes you, it just reminds you how very mortal you are, how very tiny and insignificant you are in this massive ocean. And all you can hope is that you have, so what you do as a skipper in a team is you reduce the amount of luck to the smallest tiny piece. And you have to look at the crew beside you and think, I trust you. You look at the boat underneath you and you think, I trust you. I've, built you and all the other things. And so it is a moment of reflection and a meeting with mortality.
We just have about 30 seconds. When you saw the film Maiden, overjoyed or like, you got that wrong, Alex, anything in there?
We were so pleasantly surprised. I mean, we gave him complete control. We had no editorial rights. Bit scary, but it was fantastic. We loved it. We couldn't believe how brilliant it is. And I cry every single time I watch it. So, yeah, go and watch the film. It's amazing.
Coming to the Bay Area, as I mentioned when Alex was in here in the last segment, in July, check online. And remember, Maiden, available from Sony Pictures Classics. We've been speaking with Tracy Edwards, the main protagonist in this story. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And Karen, always great doing Sailsport with you.
And we'll see you next Tuesday at 9:37.
We'll see you next Tuesday. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline US.